Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Be Christ-like as we pick up in Mark chapter 4, verse 32. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Christianity is a term that was first used in Antioch by the people of Antioch who put this tag upon those who were living like Christ. They said, oh, they're Christ-like. And that is what the term Christian actually means, Christ-like. However, in time, the term has come to a much broader meaning. And it is a term that has been applied, like in the Middle East, if you're not a Muslim, then you're a Christian. And in America, if you're not an atheist, you're a Christian. And we used to say a Christian nation, but it's far from a Christian nation. Thus, it is quite obvious that those things that have been done in West Beirut, in the Palestinian camps, are not at all Christ-like. For Jesus said, love your enemies, do good unto those that despitefully use you, bless those that curse you, bless and curse not. He taught us that we were to love, that we were to forgive, that we were to help. And thus to say that the Christian militia went in and slaughtered the Palestinians is totally wrong. The militia went in, to be sure, but not a Christian militia. Had a Christian militia gone in, they would have taken food and clothing and medicines. And they would have helped those people because that's what Christ taught us to do. And it is extremely unfortunate that there are enemies of Christ, especially planted in many areas of the news media, who like to pick up on the misnomer of Christian militia and to somehow lay the blame of the slaughter of the Palestinians upon all of Christianity or upon all the Jews whom they also hate. And so we see very sad caricatures of Christianity or Christians, such as was in the Register this week, where you have this ghoulish-looking character with a gun smoking and tramping over the bodies in refugee camp number 2, and underneath the caption, Onward Christian Soldiers. The Santa Ana Register is making an attack against every one of you who believe in Jesus Christ. They are ridiculing your faith. It is a definite attack upon every true child of God. It's a blasphemous attack. It's an unfair attack, but they don't care about fairness in their war. But we, in being Christ-like, must obey and follow Jesus Christ. And we must love, and we must forgive. There is throughout the world still a very strong anti-Semitism feeling in the hearts of many people. This has existed for centuries. And people are just looking for some excuse to hate the Jew or to be mad at the Jew. Paul the Apostle represented the feelings of every true Christian, where he said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. And I could wish myself accursed for God for my brother's sake, that they might know Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, in the name of Christianity, in the name of the church, the Jews have been persecuted through the centuries. Our guide in Israel told us that his very first exposure to Christianity was as a boy in Argentina when he first went to public school. The first day, he was beat up by the other boys as they called him a Christ killer. And he said every day he had to run home from school, rocks being thrown at him as he was called a Christ killer. He said, I didn't even know who Christ was. But he said, I learned to hate him because of what was happening to me. How in the world can you ever win someone to Jesus Christ if you hate them like that? Hatred is something far, far from Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. For any group, for any ethnic group, surely Jesus did teach us that we are all one. There's neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And a true child of God sees it that way. A true child of God has to be colorblind, for God made us all. And God loves us all, and Jesus died for all. And there is no superior race. We are all one. We all belong to the human race. We are all one. These attitudes that have arisen have not arisen from true Christianity, though many of them have prevailed in the church. And unfortunately, in many churches today, there are still areas of strong feelings of anti-this or anti-that. And that's sad indeed. And so, within the church, under its shadow, all kinds of horrible things have found refuge. Within the church today, this super world council of churches, every kind of foul exists. Things are being done in the name of the church or Christianity that have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Enemies of Christ even, working from within the church. So when it is sown, it becomes greater than all of the herbs, shoots out great branches. That's abnormal growth. That's not the true growth. That's abnormal growth. The fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow. And many, with many such parables, spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all of the things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Notice the words. Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, don't you care if we perish? Jesus must have been extremely tired, having all of these multitudes of people pressing him, grabbing him, touching him. So that as they started to cross the sea, he fell asleep in such a deep sleep that as the storm came up and the ship was being tossed, he continued to sleep. Until finally, the ship was almost full of water. And so they came back and they woke him up and they said, Master, don't you care if we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Tremendous power. And then he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? First he rebuked the wind and the waves, and then he rebuked the disciples. He rebuked them for having no faith. Why would he do that? The ship was full of water. It looked like it was going to sink. Why would he rebuke them for not having faith? Because you go back to the beginning, what he first said. Let us pass over unto the other side. He didn't say, let's go under. He said, let us pass over to the other side. And when Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. There's no way they could go under. See, this is God speaking. God's word must come to pass. And that's why he rebuked them for little faith, because they had his word that they were going to go over to the other side. He had told them, now be careful what you hear. They weren't careful what they heard, you see. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of a man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now they came over to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. Now, that is on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. It is the area near the beginning of the Golan Heights, in Gilead. The area when Moses was bringing the people toward the land for their conquest, they had passed over the other side of the Jordan and had gone up in the area through Moab and up to the area of the Ammonites and all, which was this area to the east of the Sea of Galilee. And the tribe of Gad came to Moses and said, look, we are cattlemen and this is great grazing land and all. We would just as soon have our inheritance here, because they had defeated the Ammonite kings and all. And they said, we would just soon stay here and live, and we really don't care for an inheritance in the land. And half the tribe of Manasseh was with them. So, of course, Joshua was upset at their request because he was afraid that their wanting to stay there might discourage the rest of the people from coming in and taking the land. And they said, no, no, we'll send our troops to fight, but when it's all over, we'd like to come back and settle here. We like this land. And so the tribe of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh were given this area to settle. So the people came to be known as the Gadarenes, who were living on that side of the Jordan and the Sea of Galilee. And so they came over to the area of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a very fierce man who was living there in the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. When this demon power would take control of his life, he had superhuman strength. They could not even hold him with chains. Because often they have been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains have been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Tremendously pitiful sight. A man possessed by demon spirits. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And so Mark here paints for us a very vivid picture of a tormented soul. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. But Jesus will have nothing to do with the worship of evil spirits. He cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not. For Jesus had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, that is the spirit in the man, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, because we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Luke's gospel tells us that they begged not to be sent to the abyss. We'll talk about that more when we get to Luke's gospel. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine that were feeding, and all of the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. Now, it would be wrong to assume that there were 2,000 demons in the man. The swine probably, when the demons infested some of them, they probably began to be wild, and the rest of them, like a herd of cattle and all just sort of followed and went right down into the sea as they began to just panic and go together. Now, why would Jesus allow these demons the freedom of going into the swine? Well, you go back to the Mosaic law and you find that they weren't to keep swine. That was a forbidden meat under the law. This was an illegal venture, raising swine. And so this, no doubt, is the reason why the Lord allowed them that permission to go into these swine, and he got rid of an illegal industry as far as the Jews were concerned. And they that fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus, and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, and he was sitting, and he was clothed, and in his right mind. They were afraid. Here this man that they couldn't bind with chains and fetters. Here this man that was out there screaming, crying, cutting himself with rocks and could not be tamed. Naked, tragic, horrible spectacle. And now he's seated there, clothed, in his right mind. And they that saw it told them how it befell to them that was possessed with the devil. And concerning the swine, the witnesses began to tell what had happened. And the people began to beg Jesus. They prayed him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, they said, would you just mind leaving here? How inhuman humans can be. Rather than being grateful that this poor, wretched man was helped and healed, they were just upset because they had lost the swine. They were more interested in pigs than they were human beings. Their descendants are still around. People who really don't have a real concern for others' needs, for human beings, they could care less, especially if it meant a loss of profit to them. And they prayed that he would leave them coast. And so when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with these evil spirits prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus would not allow him to go. But he said unto them, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, that is the 10 cities, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. This man became a living witness, going around and telling of the great things that Jesus had done. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship to the other side, many people gathered unto him, and he was near the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and many people followed him and thronged him. So coming now back to Capernaum, Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue there in Capernaum, came to Jesus, driven by desperation, because at home, notice, he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. Probably the easiest way to get to the heart of a man is through his children. To see our children sick, to see them suffering, moves us more than almost anything else. And to see his little daughter dying, we are told that she was about 12 years old. We are also told in another gospel that she was their only little girl. And so for 12 years, she had brought sunshine, life, and blessing into the home, as only little girls can do. But now the father's heart is breaking. It's obvious that his little girl is dying. Nothing can be done. They have only one hope. He had probably been in the controversy the other day, that Sabbath day when Jesus was there in the synagogue and healed the man with the withered hand. And though he argued over the violation of the Sabbath, he was in need. He was desperate, driven to come against prejudice to Jesus. Torn between wanting to be by his little daughter's side, but knowing that she had to have help quick, he left the mother with a little daughter, and he himself set out to find Jesus. And when he did, he found Jesus surrounded by a crowd who were thronging him. But his desperation pushed him through the crowd until he was standing face to face with Jesus, and he begged him, "Please come. My little daughter's at the point of death. Just lay your hand on her and she will be healed." He knew that Jesus could bring healing even to this condition of the point of death. And Jesus went with him.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 4 through 5 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May God bless you and keep His hand upon your life to guide, to strengthen, to bless. May He minister to your life in such a way that you'll be very conscious of the presence of God. May He just burst upon the scene, and may you just recognize His nearness and His grace and His love and just be overwhelmed by the goodness of God. May the Lord bless, watch over, and keep you through Jesus Christ.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
This Christmas, why not give the gift of God's Word by choosing the Word for Today Bible, featuring Chuck Smith's notes highlighting a simple understanding of the Scriptures. This Bible includes an exhaustive concordance, cross-references, in-text and color maps, words of Christ in red, and Chuck Smith's commentary notes, including Hebrew and Greek word origins. And in the Word for Today Bible softcover edition, we've included Chuck Smith's book, How Can a Man Be Born Again?, which is very informative for a new believer. It's our prayer that as your loved ones read the Word for Today Bible, Chuck's commentaries will give a simple understanding into the Scriptures, causing God's Word to come to life in their heart, not only drawing them into a closer relationship with the Lord, but stirring them to passionately serve God. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org to read a preview.